Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's life treating you?
Oh, lovely, Cindy. How is life treating you?
It's very good. It's been a couple of nice warm days, which is pleasant, except we better get some cold weather or we're going to have hurricanes. We need cold weather. So, you know, as much as everybody hates the cold weather, it helps when we do have cold weather. So,
yeah,
in the long run.
I've been once this season. So, this weather better get colder a little bit. But come on, I can't go
right.
Just once.
Right. And it's also, it's good to keep the ticks down when it gets cold. And it's good to keep,
yes.
So we don't have a hurricane in September, October.
And
so,
my allergies have been bugging.
No, it's funny. All of my clients are saying the same thing. And we have three roses in our front of our house.
Get out!
I mean,
really?
I know the dead people like.
Oh wow!
We know the dead like to keep our, flowers going. You know, but
mm-hmm.
We have three roses, so that should tell you something about the weather.
Oh yeah.
We've got those roses a blooming, and so. Everyone's been asking, how's your marriage? I got an email, like two emails in the last 2 weeks. How's everything going with the honeymooners?
My marriage is wonderful. I cannot complain. I love my wife. I love my life. And it's all good.
That's what we love
That's
to
it.
Hear. We love to hear.
And actually, you know
what,
Cindy? Something really, really cool happened to me, within the last couple of weeks. Way back in the day, I was very, very good friends, with a girl that I met in college, actually. You know, we were college roommates, and she was going through some hard family times. And eventually, I'm going to cut this, this short. Eventually, what wound up happening was she couldn't afford to dorm anymore. So we kind of let her live with us off, on the DL. And, we snuck her in and out of the dorms and everything else. And then when I left school, she even came to live with me in my mom's house after I left school. This girl was more like a sister to me than anything else. And we had like a little falling out over 10 years ago. And we haven't spoken since, I'm going to say maybe it was probably closer to about 15 years ago. Well, unfortunately, a friend of ours from school passed away. I'm going to say maybe last month or so, maybe the month before. And we started a casual conversation about this person that had passed. And we kept the conversation going. And yesterday, for the first time in 15 years, we actually spoke about our falling out. She's moving to Poland now, ironically enough. And, we actually spoke about it. And, she kind of just, put it out there. And she's like, I can't believe that we ever stopped talking. She's like, I'm really, sorry for all the wasted time. And I said the same exact thing. And after 15 years, we literally picked back up. She was like, I never stopped loving you, and you're my family, regardless of, I don't care how many years it's been, we're still family. And it's really, really silly. And I said, let's just leave the past in the past. And I'd like to have my friend back, regardless of what country she's in. So it was really, really cool, because I think I definitely missed that relationship. And I definitely thought about that relationship a lot as one of those things that I wish I had a do-over for. And I got my do-over. And I'm really, really cool with that. So me and my wife are going to try to hit Poland at some point this weekend. Not this weekend. This summer. because she's leaving this weekend. So this summer we're going to try to make it out to Poland. We're taking a little trip to Europe this summer, my wife and I. And, you know, we're going to hit Greece. We're going to hit Italy. And we were going to hit Germany. And now I think instead of Germany, we're just going to switch Germany over to Poland. And we're going to go visit her this summer. And I think that's awesome.
Wow. And you're going to love Europe. Have you ever been there before?
Oh, yeah. Well, not all of Europe, no. I've been to Spain. I've been to France. But that's it. I haven't been anywhere else in Europe. So it's going to be really, really interesting for us because we're going to go see some of our other friends' family in Greece. And then we're going to hit Italy and we're just going to go. I don't know anybody in Italy. So we're just going to maybe possibly see a friend of a friend in Italy who was like, oh, yeah, I'll take you around. But we'll see about that. But we're only going to spend a couple days there and then we're going to leave. We were supposed to leave. I wanted to go to Berlin. And we were going to leave out of Germany to come back to the U.S., but now that she's there, I think we might just leave out of Warsaw instead. So, it's going to be really, really cool.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. And what do we know about soulful relationships? It doesn't matter how long you haven't talked or seen each other. It's like no time passes.
Oh,
so
the way that it was. You know, it was like all of a sudden we just started picking up. We started chatting like nothing. Like it was absolutely nothing. You know, and it was stress-free. Even when we were talking about our fight, it was like we were talking about a fight that we had yesterday that, you know, she got pissy, I got pissy, and now let's leave it alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't even like it was a major issue or a major situation. It was literally, I mean, and clearly it was somewhat of a major situation because it led us to not speak for 15 years, you know? But overall, though.
Every 5 years.
Oh, yeah, 5 years cycles. Five.
God said, okay, let's bring them back together and see if we can have a soulmate reconciliation here. So, I mean, I'm very happy with that. And that's what soul connections are like. You just pick up as if it were, you know, yesterday, you know, and it doesn't matter if you haven't spoken in 30 years. I haven't spoken to one of my college friends in 30 years, not for any reason particularly. And then through Facebook, she reconnected with me like 2 years ago, and now we see each other once a month. Like, and we just picked up like we didn't miss a beat. It was like, and no questions asked. Why, you know, I guess we got busy. Life got in the way.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's fabulous because it's nice to have people you knew in another part of your life because they know you differently.
Definitely.
They've known you longer. And, you know, it's always nice when the universe brings back a soulmate friend into our life.
Oh, it's really
a celebration.
Definitely. Yeah,
it's a celebration.
I was. I did have like a little mini celebration to myself last night, you know, like in my own head. You know, I really did because, like I said, it was one of those things that through everything, I understood that everything happened for a reason, and I understood why she had to do what she had to do and I had to do what I had to do. But, you know, it was one of those things I wish it just could have worked out differently back then, that it wasn't so bad of a situation back then where we had to not speak anymore. You know, but I just
younger people tend to do
that. What's that?
Younger people tend to do that. You know what I mean? They have a fight and it's kind of major, major, major. You know what I mean? As you get older in life, sometimes you just try to not do that. You know what I mean? But younger people are a little hot-headed. You know what I mean? And
definitely. And we're fire
and
you
know,
water
you think you're right. She thinks she's right.
It was going to happen.
I know. And there's also other people, like I had another college roommate that I would love to reconnect with. She was brilliant. She was loving. But we didn't really get along all the time so great. And I don't take my responsibility for being young and a pain in the ass. But, you know, sometimes she, you know, I've tried to contact her and she just, you know, doesn't answer. So I'm like, okay, I guess that door's closed. And so it's always nice when a door is, like, opened, you know, when the person says, oh, yeah, you know, who cares about what other differences we had. And
oh, absolutely.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing when they let you back in. That's
oh,
for
completely.
Sure.
Well, we
do have a lot of listeners, and if someone wants to speak to us, they do have to press 1.
Press the number 1, please.
And we'll know that you want us. Of course, we never screen the first caller. And, you know, I think tonight we're going to go a little bit, you know, to the first caller. And we have to go a little bit down sometimes because we've gotten an email from our producers.
When we see those computer-generated – what's that?
That from our producers of our show, not you, the producer, but, you know, the blog talk people are mentioning that we never, you know, are picking, you know, down the line. And, of course, sometimes we can't see beyond a certain point, which I told them, you know.
Thank you, blog talk.
So I said, you know, thank you, we can't see it. So I think we'll go a little bit out of order tonight as well, because we want to make sure we're getting the same callers in. Blog Talk likes us to not have the same callers all the time. I mean, this is what we got.
So I'm going to pick
whatever.
Don't
you like the reprimand? Don't you like the little reprimands we get?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? If they would like to reprimand, that's absolutely fine. I will be more than happy to reprimand back about things that go wrong on our show, if that's the case.
So,
I wouldn't mind it. You know, I mean, I'll sit on the phone with them for an hour if they really want to.
Right,
but I do understand, not for Blog Talk, but I do understand for our listeners that some of them are calling in not early enough, where they are down the line and they wish that they could get, you know, get through. So I'm going to go actually to the last caller that pressed the number one today, Cindy, for our first call. Hopefully it is somebody normal. And just so that you know that we are speaking to you, it is 0367. So that's how you know that we are identifying you, and then you could say hello back. So hello, 0367, you are on the air. Hello.
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 Hello. You're on the air.
Hi. Oh my God. I tried to call like last year and I never got through.
Well, now you know why. Why I said the little speech, because you know, not only am I getting some emails that it's happening, but I'm also psychically saying some people have been trying to call in for a very long time and they haven't gotten through. So let's try to get the people who haven't gotten through.
I think I'm going through a little bit of a heartbreak, and I think that's why I'm like, I need to call Cindy. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Okay, and can you tell our listeners your name, please?
Sure, my name is Karen.
Okay, so you need to call us when you go through a little bit of a heartbreak, because that's what we're here for. And what I'm seeing is it's probably more than a little bit of a heartbreak, because the first card I got was a soulmate card, so... You know, you had a definite soulmate connection with this person. Are you? I'm sure you're aware of that. Okay, so you know, you had that heart connection, that mind, that body, that soul. And when a soulmate relationship ends, or you know, if we're not sure if it's a permanent end, but ends, it feels like a death. Because across from your soulmate card, I got the death card. So right now, you're mourning for the end of this relationship. You know that. And it's very painful. And now I think it wasn't a coincidence that Nicole was talking about her reconciliation with a friend 15 years later. I mean, sometimes we can reconnect with people in the future, but who ended this and why did it end? Can you just give us a little detail?
He did, and it was because it was on and off for many years, and he also had like a quick temper, so it was a really bad fight over when we just weren't thinking straight. So it's like a very volatile fight. And so that's why it hurts even more, because it was just so nasty and so abrupt and so like, I didn't really get any closure and it's so recent. So I'm like, well, maybe if we didn't act like that, it wouldn't have happened.
Okay. What happens is when soulmates go all the way down the ladder of love to toxic, it's really ugly and it hurts you and it hurts him. And were you guys drinking at all?
Yeah, that night we separately with his
friends. Why am I not surprised?
He was with his friends, I was with mine, and then we got together and then.
Okay, because you know, you seem very young to me. How old are you?
I'm 26. I'm going to be 27 the 22nd of next month.
Because you're young. And your generation tends to drink too much. And I spend a lot of my counseling sessions telling younger people, you know, you should not be fighting when you're drinking. And if you're not good fighters when you drink, then please don't drink together. Because it looks to me like the alcohol did a lot of speaking. I'm not saying that what you didn't say was truthful. And I'm not saying what he didn't say was truthful. But it wasn't the way to say it, okay? And what we say screaming and yelling, the universe doesn't hear, so they can't help us. Okay, they just run away. When we scream like that, they go, oh, fuck it, we're not listening. Mm-hmm. What we say calmly and to the point, they hear. There's some lessons for you to learn in this, and some of them are like, you know, to say what you mean what you say, but don't be mean about it. I mean, he misses you too, but the on again, off again is another thing very characteristic of your generation. They tend to, you know, have a soulmate, and then they don't maintain it or they break up, they go back and forth. How long were you with him on and off?
For 5 years.
Okay,
well,
we got the
February 5 years. Would have been 5 years, yeah.
Okay, so we got the 5 year cycle thing going on here. Because every 5 years, God says fix it or leave it with a relationship. Now, you're not quite at the 5 year mark, so between now and February, you'll be getting some guidance. He'll be getting some guidance. Have you thought about calling him to get some closure here, at least to say you were sorry or something like that? Have you thought about that?
No, only because he told me never to contact him again, and I kind of wanted to respect that, and I wouldn't know what to say. And
okay, now this kind of sounds like Nicole and her friend. So it's not a coincidence that we should, you know, when Nicole and I talk in the beginning, it's, for some reason it's never really chit-chat. There's an important message in there. But, you know, you could send him an email or a letter or something apologizing and saying you no need to respond. But what I'm seeing here is, you know, he's pretty pig-headed at times.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it looks like there's someone else in the cards for him. Did you know about that?
Mm-mm.
Because it looks like he's distracting with someone now. So, you know, he may, you know, just want to, like, instead of mourning for the relationship like you're doing, it looks like he's doing more drinking and more partying and just, you know, distracting. So he may not be feeling the same level of pain you're feeling only because he's not allowing himself to feel it. But, why don't you pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be a soulmate who could do the same. If it's this man, let the universe bring him back. If not, they'll begin to ready another soulmate for you. But karmically, when soulmates end a relationship so horrifically, it can incur negative karma for both of you. So you may, you know, want to acknowledge that you could have handled it better. In that, if you're given another opportunity with a soulmate, you're going to learn some basic relationship tools, which is never say something to your lover that you wouldn't say to your friends. You don't say, fuck you, you're an asshole, to our friends, do we? I don't say it to my friends. I wouldn't have any friends. Like, the way you talk to him, you don't talk to your friends, correct?
Right. And, absolutely.
And so, you know, it's such a simple, basic relationship tool, but it's like, you know, if you see yourself having too much to drink, and then it's hard to, the problem about having too much to drink is you really can't control your emotions a lot of times when you have alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, I never drink very much. I'll have one drink or one wine or spritzer or something. I've been drunk since 1971. It wasn't a pretty picture, and I've never duplicated it, okay? But I wasn't a good drunk, okay? So I said, oh, boy, man, I am really bad when I have alcohol. So, The fact that it ended on sort of an alcohol fight, although it looks like your relationship had deteriorated before that, like you guys were not fighting so fair even before this. Are you
Great.
In agreement with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, the way of interacting becomes a habit. So when we get in the habit of speaking unkindly to people, it becomes just the way we do it. You know, the longer we are nasty to somebody, it becomes nasty. It's almost like you don't even want to ever be nasty once to somebody, because then you've sort of broken a barrier that says it's okay to be nasty. He's not the easiest person to get along with, by the way. Would you agree to that?
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's his way or no way most of the time. And, it looks like he's, you know, somewhat upset by it. But, again, it's a lot of drinking going on here. Do you know him to drink a lot anyway?
Oh, yeah, he's always been a big drinker, but he's been a lot better lately. So that was, he's been a lot better lately. It was a lot worse years ago.
And he's back to being a lot worse again?
It was just that his friend was in town and he let loose.
Okay, so he's been, you know, so he's not mourning for you right now. He's drinking, he's distracting. He's thinking, let me just replace her, let's have fun, who needs this? And, you know, unfortunately, you went all the way down the ladder of love from soulmate to toxic love. And once it goes toxic, it's really quite an addiction, by the way. It's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're hooked on him. You know, it's not great. You might go back for more. I'm not seeing him returning anytime soon here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he doesn't miss you, but maybe a month from now he might, you know, contact you. Has he been known to do that, like after your fight, like a month later he contacts you?
Not really. I've always been the one to contact him. That's why when you ask, you know, would you be willing to reach out and apologize, I was like, not really, because he's never
not
really done
time.
The work. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. If you don't try to contact him, like he's expecting that you'll be the one to contact him. So, you know, he'll just wait. But after like a month, 2-3 months, he's going to get nervous. And he might shoot you a text. I would advise you to tell if you have something to say to me, you know, call me or see me. Like, don't just text back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
The universe usually gives a full solid 3 months from the time people break up to the time they introduce, bring you somebody else or even begin to bring that in alignment. So you can't bypass the mourning of this. You have to kind of let yourself feel the sorrow. Are you allowing yourself to do that?
It's hard, but I'm trying, yeah.
I mean, because if you just distract, if you just try to date somebody else, you just try to go, you know, on the narcissistic ladder of love to somebody who's just a nice guy but not really a great love, that's going to, it's not going to be the answer. So
yeah.
I do see that you will be granted another soulmate, but you kind of have to do your own inner homework and take responsibility for some of the ending of this. And I know it's painful, but you can't just blame him that he
no,
did something.
Yeah. I have like two questions. Would you advise me to not even expect like a response back, but at least apologize for my end of it?
I think karmically, you really do have to apologize.
Do you know when I should, or like?
I would do it sooner than later. Even if you just did an email, a letter saying, you know, I'm sorry for my behavior. I had too much to drink. I could have said things better. And I don't, you know, I heard what you said. You didn't want me to contact you, but I just wanted to end this correctly with an apology and wish you well. I mean, at least you have to say you're sorry. And,
yep.
Don't, you know, he may not say he's sorry to you. Well, that means he won't be granted another soulmate, okay? Not anytime soon. But for your own benefit, because at least, you know, talking to dead people is pretty brutal because most of them regret they could have, would have, should have done better. Nobody regrets having sent the letter or extending the olive branch or saying they're sorry. They regret they didn't do that. And, you know, it shows that you're a good person and, you know, it honors the 5 years you spent together. You could wait until it's the anniversary of the your 5-year mark if you wanted to do that, which is in a couple of weeks. And, you know, just say, I'm thinking of us today. I'm sorry it ended that way. And, you know, do it very nicely. I mean, you could do it as a text, but do you think he's blocked you? Because it looks like he may have blocked you.
I don't think so. Because
okay,
I don't think so.
Okay, so you could try, you know, texting is a little awkward because it's not always able to say exactly what you might want to say. But,
and it makes me nervous because I don't want to open a door of him saying, like, F you, like, I told you not to. Like, I just don't want to open up that back
well,
and forth.
But if he does that, then, you know, the funny thing about this is you're going to, like, wait until the moment when you just feel like, now I have to do it. Might be tomorrow, might be 4 weeks from now, might be on the anniversary, might be whatever. When you just have this feeling today's the day to do it. Now, if he responds by saying, fuck you to you, that's bad karma for him. Okay, it's not bad karma for you, but at least you know what you're dealing with, and you could say, well, I tried to end this on a positive note, because whatever level of love we end a relationship on is where we're going to be given another relationship. In other words, do you want a relationship that's really pretty much toxic from the beginning, only it looks pretty nice for about a month, the level of, like, really toxic love? I mean, or do you want to be granted, like, a higher love, a soulmate? Because if you end it soulmate correctly, then you'll be granted a soulmate. If he ends it, fuck you, boy, the next girl he's going to get is going to be really toxic love. Okay, so, you know, we're only responsible for our behaviors. You're not responsible for his. And,
okay.
And just like Nicole and her friend ended it 15 years ago, without talking or trying to talk or someone saying they're sorry, maybe they wouldn't have wasted 15 years if somebody just, apologized. And I'm not seeing he's the one that you're going to probably end up with in the future? Because he's got a lot of issues. You
do
know
you
that.
Think that if – that was something I was going to ask you. Do you think that if we left it alone, we would be able to, you know, reconnect and maybe we'd be more mature?
Well, that's a great question because your generation is very immature. I'm sorry to tell you that, but they – okay. You're all like 27 going on 17. And, like, you fight the way my generation fought when they were teenagers, you know, not so much at 27. But if you let it go, I mean, he needs some therapy. Do you know that? He needs something. He's got issues. And if you let it go and you both started to, you know, figure out what you did wrong, you know, you could reconnect. But I don't know if you know about his parents' marriage. But it looks like it wasn't
so
great.
Oh, yeah, it was, like, disgusting, yeah.
Horrible. Because, you know, when I ask, okay, tell me about his parents' marriage, this deck is very rigged. It's only supposed to – most tarot cards only have one devil card. But I put, like, three in this deck because I'm pulling them myself instead of you. I got all three devil cards on his parents' marriage. That means that was a really toxic marriage. So he has to relive his parents' marriage until he stops judging them. And so – you guys were soulmates that went toxic. His parents were never soulmates. They were a mediocre version of love that went very toxic. Now, he may have to end up hooking up or marrying a woman that's very mediocre version of love to toxic to understand why his parents couldn't work even if they healed their issues. You guys are the opposite. You had started out as soulmates. If you healed issues, it's possible to bring it back up the ladder of love. But he's got some personality traits that make me doubt that he's capable of doing that. He's pretty manipulative. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And he's judgmental. Boy, did he judge you harshly, okay? And narcissists, manipulators who judge others, the prognosis of them changing over the age of 25 is about 10%. If you combine it with alcohol and he's drinking too much, it's about 2%. You might never be able to bring this love back up to soulmate. You might be able to keep it mediocre if you shut up a lot. So
yeah.
Unless he gets some kind of therapy, it looks like not the most hopeful cards I've seen on a relationship. And if you do get another shot of it out of it, you know, you might want to get some relationship counseling or, you know, somehow find some better tools of behaving with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not becoming his mom and dad. Because, you know, we have to relive, you know, our mate's parents' marriage and our own parents' marriage. What was your parents' marriage like?
It was difficult in the beginning, and then they just made it work, and then they're in love with each other now. Like, they're, like,
okay,
obsessed with each other now.
They
and
were
I think that's why I held on to it for so long, like him,
right.
Because I thought
we
would end up the same way.
Right, because you saw soulmates that probably had some toxic moments. You know, if you have American kids, throw kids into an equation, you're going to really have ups and downs in your marriage. American kids are a pain in the ass. And so love goes up and down. Now that their kids are older, notice how they're able to reconnect because it was good to begin with. But you keep hoping you're going to be your parents and fix it. But your parents aren't two unfixable people. They're two good people that probably relived their own parents' marriage, didn't even know why they were destroying it and doing it, but two good people that learned they loved each other and fixed it. He may not be, he's not your parents, okay? He's got issues that he's a narcissist, he judges others, so bringing this back up to soulmate might be extremely difficult, you know, and so part of it is, like, bless it and let it go after you, you know, say your piece. And, you know, if you wanted to say, I'd really like another shot at this, then say it in the, you know, letter to him or the message to him. And if he says it's over, your shot, you lost out, well, it's okay. You know, you'll know that he doesn't want it anymore. It's not that he's fallen out of loving you. It's not that you've fallen out of loving him. You guys have fallen out of liking each other. And that's not that easy to fix. You have to try very hard in relationships to not be ugly and mean. And it's because of arranged marriages where people married people they didn't love and they couldn't get out of it no matter what, that they got really nasty. But we're just duplicating this generations down the line. Like, nobody, like, knows where it started, but somebody's got to end it. So maybe, you know, your thing is if I get another shot at love, whether it's with him or another soulmate, I'm not going to drink so much because if it makes it not good, I'm going to watch what I say and, you know, say what I mean, don't be mean about it. I'm not going to talk to him the way I wouldn't talk to my friends and cherish the relationship. And, you know, these, your whole generation is learning this the hard way. They all seem to be screwing up their love. And, again, when it's truly toxic love, people will curse each other out, throw acid in each other's face, and they'll still be back together. But soulmates who go toxic oftentimes walk away because it's much more painful to hurt a soulmate. If it's just somebody you didn't love all that much, who cares if you're nasty? But didn't it hurt you to be so mean to him?
Yeah, every time, yeah.
Right, because he's
like,
because
sometimes I would even watch what I was like saying because he like a lot of times I would let him get away with whatever he was saying, and I didn't want to like retaliate because it would hurt me more than, you know, it would hurt him coming out of the, like that coming out of my mouth. So
that's right, because you're a nice person. Okay, so just, you know, you were reliving some of your parents' fights. He's reliving some of his parents' fights. By the way, in transactional analysis, they call it running an old tape. And if we could go back in time and hear one of our parents fight, we're fighting exactly like they did. Like we just put this into our mind and we're just doing it. And that's how fights escalate. It starts with something and then all of a sudden it goes from A to like, you don't even know where it is an hour later. Like, what were we fighting about? Because I don't even know what it started about. That's when you know you're duplicating one of your parents' fights. And that's when you have to sort of step back from the fighting and say, look, I will talk to you later. I think we need to, like, take a time out and kind of walk away and calm down and come back. It's one of the best things you can do is just say, you know, I'm not walking out on you. I love you, but I think we need to stop this right now, and I'll be back in a little while. I just need to take a breather, and we'll come back and talk calmly. Because you really can't take away words if you keep saying them. I mean, you know, I was married 29 years, and my ex-husband, you know, he's a good person in many ways, but he could be really nasty. And after a while, you don't forgive what people say over and over again, even if they say they're sorry. Because sorry means you don't do it again. Doesn't mean you say you're sorry and you curse me out the next day.
Yeah.
So learning from this, and, you know, taking responsibility for your part in the ending of this relationship, trying to end it karmically correct by saying the things you need to say. You never regret telling someone you love them and you wish you had a second chance. Because when we die, we get to see maybe we would have gotten a second chance with somebody. It's really painful to see what would have happened if you just extended an olive branch. If he says, you know, curses you out and says, and you could see he's not in a healed place. He's going to have to marry somebody, mediocre love. Maybe some girl he dates will get pregnant and won't be a great love affair. And he'll have to, you know, end up with his parents' divorce on his hands, something he swore he'd never do. Sometimes our subconscious mind makes us relive our parents' marriage, and we can't stop it. He may not be capable of stopping this. So, you know, just with you, forgive your parents for the times they fought and understand that they were able to fix it because, you know, they're two genuinely good people. And, you know, what I'm seeing here is you have some lessons to learn. You know, do us a favor and call back in and let us know. I mean, it's very, very painful to watch a soulmate relationship dissolve and to go under like this and to be destroyed. But if you learn never to do it again, and maybe he's supposed to be a transition soulmate, someone to get your parents' marriage out of your system, how you could see how two people could love each other and, boy, they can get ugly, and to forgive your parents for those moments in time, and that you won't have to duplicate their fights anymore in your own life. So, you know, it could prepare you to be a much better person with your next soulmate. And,
okay.
You know, I remember staying longer married to my ex-husband because I had a lot of anger issues. Now, when you have anger issues, you want somebody to fight with because, you know, you look nice, you know, in the outside world, but you're a lunatic behind closed doors. And I remember, really, that's what it serves a purpose. What am I going to do with all my childhood anger? I'm not going to throw grenades at people. But after a while, I moved beyond the anger. But I realized until I learned how to respond to someone, even if they're being nasty to me, then I still had lessons to learn in that marriage. And it was only when I learned you know, he could say what he wanted, but I wasn't going to be brought down to that level, that I knew that I was healed and ready for a higher love with someone else. So it's, we have to learn how to behave, okay? And I'm not judging you at all because I've been there, done that, okay? I'm just trying to tell you it takes a long time to learn these lessons. But if you learn them now, consider it a blessing. And you know, you're a genuinely nice person. And I think if you don't get this off your chest, you're going to get very depressed. Because depression is anger turned inward and you're mad at yourself about it. So if you express it and tell him what you feel, it's out of your hands at that point. So at least you did your part.
Yeah. I'll think about what to write so that, I don't know, I just don't. Like, it's like, nerve-wracking because I want to say I'm sorry and I want to say that I wish things that, you know, they would have worked and we have the tools to make them work, but I just don't want to open the door to, for another argument or...
But again, if you choose the words from your soul, okay, from your soul, he may not even respond to it. That doesn't mean his soul doesn't hear it. You know, don't put ego words at all. You know, don't attack. Don't use attack words. The problem with people is they haven't learned how to fight properly. You never attack people. But look at our government. Look at our president. Look at everybody. They attack people. You never attack people. You know, someone attacks Trump, he attacks them. You know, if someone attacks me personally, I don't attack them back. I deal with facts. You know, I just address the facts of why they may be wrong, but I'll never name call somebody or anything like that. You know, that's not the right way to fight. You know, attacking people is one of the worst things you could do, and you two attacked each other. You really were angry at some of his behaviors. He was angry at some of your behaviors. Address the behaviors. Like, when you drink or when you talk to me this way, you know, I don't like it. But don't, you know, start screaming you're an idiot and attacking a person, because then you get the ego. So try to meditate on it a little bit. Ask your angels and spirit guides to help you with the right words to say that are healing for you and healing for him. And close this on the right note, so that you can be granted another soulmate. And, you know, again, if he doesn't respond properly, he won't be granted another soulmate. It's just the way it is. Well, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing your story with us. You're just a little sweetheart, and I knew I had to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, I don't know if you listened to all of that, but can you see how your friendship story went right into that?
I did.
Mm-hmm. How maybe if someone had extended the olive branch 15 years earlier?
Oh, yeah, that's why it's important to let people go.
Right, and we just have to sometimes. It's hard. She's young.
And it's also It's letting go of your ego, but it's also not making assumptions. The worst thing you can do is make an assumption and assume that you know what somebody else is feeling, assume that you know what somebody else is thinking and things like that, because, you know, you don't really know what anybody else is thinking. You don't know what anybody else is feeling until you ask, you know, and that's important that you find out that information. And even today, I had to make that point at work because somebody assumed that no exceptions would be made. And here we are, you know, he's been looking for his new location since June. And I lost touch with him in June and I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anything. I've checked it and he's gone completely dark. And his answer to me today was, well, I just assumed that because we had criteria that there was no deviation from the criteria. And I said, but had you spoken with me about it and had you presented your hardship, we wouldn't be here in the same place that we were back in June. So, and the same thing goes for relationships. Don't ever assume. It's always worth asking the question. It's always worth getting the knowledge from the horse's mouth versus thinking that you know it all.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's very hard. You know, humans have learned so many bad ways of interacting. And, you know, if we can just, I mean, I think what this show is basically about is, you know, you can not see eye to eye in everything, but if you just, you know, say it nicely and kindly, you don't have to make enemies of people. And, you know, you don't have to agree on anything and everything, but, you know, be respectful of people, respect each other. And when you drunk and cursing people out, you're not being respectful. And it really is a problem in the younger generations. They do drink too much, and they have some of the most vicious fights I've ever seen.
You know what? That's definitely the younger people. But you know what? The older people that live in this generation, they're not that much better. You know, nobody knows. Like, it's we're living in a society right now, and I don't know what has turned us into this. You know, I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's technology that we're just not creating quality relationships anymore. Therefore, we don't value anybody anymore. I really don't know. But it's, you know, people have got to get over the idea that everybody's got to be best friends. Okay, that everybody's got to agree 100% of the time. And they also have to get over the idea that just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean that you're mortal enemies. You know, we're living in a very all or nothing society. And we saw that very much when you look at the election. You know, you had people unfriending each other. You have people, you know, not speaking anymore because of who they voted for. Like, really? Mm. I mean, I think that we discussed that closer to the election time. You know, I mean, and it's really, really sad that it came down to that, but it just goes to show you, and it's a testament of how black and white people are, you know, and
right.
It doesn't have to be that way. You can agree to disagree and still continue to be friends. You could agree to disagree and still have a relationship with somebody. You don't have to have complete symbiosis all the time. And if you did, I know that everybody wants that, but if you did, you'd get real bored real fast.
Right, you would. And of course, it's just, again, respecting people. You know, say your opinion, but say it respectfully. And listen then when the person says theirs. Don't shout over them. Don't scream over them. And, you know, it's just, I just think it's very sad, though, when people don't end a relationship karmically correct. You know, karmically correct is without drama and trauma. Look, this isn't working. I wish it was. Maybe we need a timeout. Maybe it's forever. I don't know. But just saying the words is important. But when you end it on such an ugly note and you don't have any time to backtrack on it, it really is hard. It really is hard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's so hard. Well, we do have Julie, who we know. She's a regular call-in-er. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Julie's in.
Julie. Okay. So let's see. Tell me what Julie needs to know.
She has a question, but she doesn't have a question for her, Cindy. She has a question for her daughter, and that question is about a relationship. So here we go to Julie. And remember, everybody, if you want me to pick you up, we still have some time left. I know that Blog Talk wants a variety of calls tonight, so don't forget to press that number once, but I could screen you. And here we go to Julie. Hello, Julie. You are on the air.
Hello. Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's what I thought, because it's not a question about you, so you must be doing great.
Well, it's about for my daughter, but it affected me. I've been listening to the show, the whole course about relationships, and my daughter was in a relationship for 7 years at 16 to 23, and this person pretty much fooled us. He just kind of called her up and said goodbye and had somebody in the, you know, on the side during, you know, he was going to school. Anyway, he met her, got engaged a year later, and now he's getting married this Saturday. But the thing I'm calling for my daughter is that she's still being affected by this. We're being backlashed by his family and saying really horrible things about my daughter, and he's putting her down, and this is a person that I never would ever thought he would have done this to her, my daughter. So it is affecting our family.
Well, the funny part about it is, if you bring a soulmate, and he was a soulmate at one point, or they had a heart, soul, mind, body connection, okay? If you bring a soulmate to someone 16, 17 years old, they know how to love. Mm-hmm. When people get over the age of 20 is when they start screwing up and when a different personality may emerge. You know, what you're seeing from him now is, like, he had, under the age of 25, by the way, it's a 50-50 crapshoot. How people might turn out if they're narcissists, manipulators, and judgmental. I mean, he was that, but when he was younger, he could have gone either way. He could have been a good person or a bad person, but she brought out the best in him. And for a while, he was that person. Mm-hmm. Now, he has to relive his parents' marriage, just like we were talking about in the last caller. So a lot of what was said in that last call pertains still to your daughter. and that he has to relive his parents' marriage. And they were never great soulmates, his mother and father. They were kind of mediocre version of love. And the woman he's with now is not a soulmate. And it's a perfect woman to relive the parents' marriage with. The fact that they've all turned on her, and I'm not sure why they would turn on her, considering he's the one who cheated on her and dumped her, you think they would be a little bit more sympathetic to her.
No,
but it really, this is trying to make it easier for her to see, you know, count your blessings you didn't marry him. Because you see how fast they turned? They would have turned on her, you know, as their daughter-in-law. And, you know, he had this relationship going on for quite some time before he even revealed it to your daughter, by the way. And, you know, he's a guy who manipulates, lies. And, of course, the guy you knew when he was younger, from 16, and really the soulmate love is very strong the first couple of years in a young person. But he was too young to have really, you didn't really see his full personality, and now it's emerged. And when he was near you and your family, you're very old souls, and you brought out the best in him. But when he got away from you and was influenced at college and by other people, then he went, you know, he's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He's not wasn't a total unfixable. He could sometimes be good, sometimes bad. Your daughter will be granted another soulmate because she's not the one responsible for the ending of this. Mm-hmm. How does his family bother you? Are they from the same neighborhood or something?
Yeah, but the thing is that he's lying about my daughter. He's one saying that she did all this. So they're upset at her for
And, of course, this is what unfixables do, okay?
Right.
And they're very convincing. By the way, they win in court all the time because unfixable people, narcissists who judge others, lie, and they lie a lot. And they're very convinced. When they go in courtroom, they lie so convincing they win. You know, we're good people. We don't know what we saw. We see, you know, with rose-colored glasses, and we don't even know what we saw, so we lose. What she has to do is not even give in to the energy. They can, you know, she could pretty much say, I really don't care what any of you think. It doesn't bother me. You know, you can think what you think. And don't even engage in it. And people who know her will know the truth. I mean, the problem with older souls is we like everybody to like us, and it's very hurtful for us when people don't like us and when they, you know, turn on us and make up stories. But consider this a waking dream for her, because she had married him. You think this thing, you imagine what it would have been like if she had disagreed with anything they said or did. And, you know, it is hurtful for her. He's also doing this for a show for the girl, the woman he's marrying, because she's pretty threatened by your daughter. I mean, remember, she's never been a soulmate with him. It's not a soulmate relationship. Mm-hmm. And when he met her, she knew he was in love with your daughter. So picture, she's just trying to make sure the family hates, everybody hates her, so that she can't, you know, come back into his life. And, you know, part of it is his fiance has made some of this trouble as well. And so it shows his, you know, his true colors. You know, she's devastated by it. I'm sure she's devastated he's getting married right now, and it's hurtful for her. But is she at least seeing he's not who she thought he was? I mean, did she get that much? Did she realize, who is this person? I don't know who he is.
Yeah, that's where she's at. Like, who is this person? And with this family that I was with for 7 years, of course, she was young, 16 to 23. She didn't live with them. She was schooling, going to school, go to college. But they dated,
right.
Never fought, and all of a sudden, boom, everything. He had this relationship probably on the side while he was going to college, and everything just kind of blew up. So now he's
right.
Mean to us, and he's
and of course,
they hate us.
You have to tell her, don't negate the whole relationship. The first 5 years, and relationships work in 5-year cycles, the first 5 years was real.
Yeah.
Like, if she's going to think it was all lies, it's going to make her insane. But just explain to her that young people know how to love. So when they start getting over the age of 20, that they have their subconscious mind has to duplicate their parents' marriage, has to make mistakes, you know, and this is what's going on. So the first 5 years were real. The last 2 years he was lying to her and manipulating. And her gut was telling her something was wrong, but she wasn't trusting it. And she's kind of mad at herself about that, too,
yeah.
because he wasn't acting the same. He was acting different, and he was always making excuses. He's tired, he's this, he's that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for her, she's getting a lot of divine guidance right now, telling her this is a blessing for you, that, you know, she asked to meet him, by the way. He was her husband in her most recent past life, is what her spirit guides are saying. And they had started out as soulmates in that lifetime, and he had cheated on her and had broken her heart, but she never divorced him because women didn't divorce in those days. She asked to meet him in this lifetime, insisting to God that it's different, I can work, I can support myself, he'll know not to do that stuff. And God told her, you can stay, you know, you can spend 5 years with him, probably not much longer, no babies with him when you find out he's a cheater. And the universe just kind of saved her from making the same mistake she made in her last lifetime. He's not a fixable person.
Right.
He's under the age of 25 still, but he's a narcissist who judges others severely, a severe one. Okay, so, you know, the prognosis of him changing is very poor, you know, and, you know, if she, you know, unfortunately, when you have a soulmate and it gets really toxic, it's hard for us to see, was it ever soulmate? Yes, it was. Those first couple of years was real, and he was good, and he loved her. So, you know, bless that and know that that was real. This is him kind of living his subconscious mind, just like the last guy we were talking about. He's got to relive his parents' marriage. They're not a very happy couple. I don't know if you know that. They're not a very happy couple. They just, you know, they're never going to divorce. They're going to be together very... They're both unfixables, his parents. That's why they could stay married to each other. But, you know that she would have been very unhappy with that family. And, you know, she has to mourn for the end of it. You know, I bet you're wondering how she's going to get through the wedding on Saturday. Do you have plans to do something with her that day?
I want to, but she's a dance coach, so she has to do her. She has to be with her team doing competition that day.
Okay, good. Good. All right. God made sure she had some older souls. The show must go on. Okay. I'm an entertainer. The show went on. No matter what happened, the show went on. Okay. So if anything, I think it's what helped me heal in my life. It's like I couldn't lay down in bed and be sad. I had to get up and do my show. I had to do what I had to do. So it's not a bad thing. She has to do the competition. Her mind will be on that. She'll be focused on that. But the good news is she's going to be granted another soulmate. She's not responsible for the ending of this. He is. Okay, so she will be granted another one. You know, right now she doesn't trust her judgment. But, again, if you have to make it clear to her, what was in the beginning was real. What's now is not real. What's now is his ego kicking in.
Yeah.
And, you know, the girl he's marrying is no picnic, by the way. So, you know, good luck with that one.
Yeah, her and,
her,
oh, I didn't mean to interrupt, her and her friend set Michelle up, basically, to go down. My daughter's name is Michelle. They made up all these stories about her. So.
And it's very, very painful for good people to hear people say bad stuff about us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just... Don't play the game.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Can I ask a question? Why?
Sure.
Why does she care what these people say about her?
She doesn't express it to me. I just see the sadness. Now it's been 2 years,
oh.
But I just see it, you know, because it's now it's building from, you know, a year after they got broken up, they're engaged, and now they're getting married. I just see the sadness in her. I'm just looking to see if a relationship's coming.
Oh, no, I can see how she'd be sad about that. You know, because that is kind of like, you know, kind of, that is gut-wrenching, even for you as a mom, you know, that is kind of gut-wrenching, you know, because you don't want to see your daughter in pain. And you know what, when you do spend a lot of time with somebody and you know, and that's your ultimate goal, and then all of a sudden you see so quickly that, you know, he could do that with somebody else, I get the sadness there. But what I don't understand is the time invested in what his family thinks and in the things that they say. Your daughter knows who she is. Your daughter knows the truth. You know the truth. Anybody that would ever mistreat your daughter or mistreat you over what somebody else said or over speculation and rumor or whatever anybody else says, you know what? That's up to you guys to do one of, you know, to actually do two things. The first thing to do, that's up to you to say, you know what? I know what really happened. I know the truth. I'm sorry that you don't, but do me a favor. Don't bring me this nonsense because I don't have time for it. I'm better than the nonsense that you're trying to write. Okay. And the second thing that you guys need to do is take that as a testament of the fact that you two do not belong near the caliber of person that would do that to you. Okay, because anybody that is worth having around you is going to know who you are. They're going to believe in you and who you are, and they're not going to do that to you. So you should see every little bit of whenever somebody does that as, you know what, and this is exactly why I can't have these people in my life, and I'm grateful to not have them in my life. Okay, or these are signs that I need to rid myself of these people because they don't belong in my life. Because look at this, they're feeding into hate, they're feeding into anger, they're feeding into drama, and I want a drama-free life. If I have drama in my life, it better be because it's going to whisk me away to Fiji, not because somebody wants to cause me pain. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, right. You should do two things. You know, your daughter knows who she is, and you know what? It's unfortunate that she had to spend as much time with him for him to behave the way that he did and for him to do that 180. And for that, she's entitled to her pain. And you as a mother are entitled to help her through that pain. But anything else that's not that needs to be put to the side. Okay, and you need to put that into perspective because these people, okay, that are doing this, they are miserable people that want to spread misery. And by allowing them to make you miserable, you're letting them win.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
exactly.
Actually, the call is for myself, not to interrupt, because I am the one that was at the store recently and being attacked by those people. So it's really for myself.
Well, you also have to know that they're doing it because they want to make sure she can't come back in his life because she's obviously, they know she was a soulmate, and everybody's threatened by her. And so, you know, what it is in the store, how did you handle it? Did you tell them, you know, did you politely tell them, I don't want to hear about this anymore? Thank you.
I wish I could have been a little polite, but I was a little bit upset because you're calling, basically in the middle of a store at Christmas shopping, calling my daughter a slut. So it was hard.
I know. Do you know, I just love the words people tend to use. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
My daughter's a slut. Could you imagine? That would show me such ignorance on the part of these people that, you know, I would actually have probably tell them, I would advise you to stop talking before, you know, I have you arrested. I would advise you to stop talking. You can't just scream and curse at people. Okay, it's, you know,
right.
this is assault and battery. Okay, you know, you can't battery, but you can't just scream at people in a store. Okay, make a scene and kind of, you know, let them know it's not acceptable to you.
Yep.
Because these people are crazy.
Yeah, I know that now.
I mean, they're crazy. And, of course, you're a mom, and they're talking about your daughter this way. But, you know, it's really, you know, you can't just keep doing this. I mean, you can get order of protection against these people. They can't be doing this. And what I would tell them, one more comment out of you, and I'm getting an order of protection. You know, so you can't do this to people. You can't just harass people in a store. I mean, this is America now. Everybody thinks they can bully everybody and say what they want. You can't. You can't. It's not acceptable. And, you know, just know that it really shows you what, you know, you're surrounded by a lot of very low-class people, let me tell you. And, I mean, it's kind of frightening and stupid, too, on top of it. Low-class and stupid. And, you know, so, I mean, if we don't laugh, we'll cry.
I know.
But, and especially you live in kind of a small town, I'm gathering here. And pretty much, if anybody harasses you again, you know, I would just pretty much go down to the police station and say you're harassing me in the stores and let the police go over and knock on the door. You know,
yeah.
They might realize, you know, just a little scare in them. You know what I mean? A little bit scared that we're not going to sit here and be harassed and, you know, in our home or in our hometown.
And don't lower yourself down to that level. You know, don't yell back. Don't show them your feelings. If you want to go home, not in front of them, and scream your friggin' head off and just let out the anger, go right ahead. But you know what? Don't let them see your feelings. You know what? Be the adult. Because you know what? Even if they're yelling and screaming this crap, okay, if you're the adult and you're not playing back, they're not making your daughter look bad. They're not making you look bad. They're making themselves look bad, okay? Because
really
what's going to happen is people are going to see you, and that people are going to see, you know what, these people are yelling and screaming and acting as if they're in high school, you know, and this woman is being, and this other woman is being classy and just saying, listen, you really need to stop it. I don't have time for this, and walking away from it. You know, so in that respect, let them make themselves look like idiots, because the more that they do that, the less credence any of their words will have. You know, and it's like if you've ever seen the movie Nightmare on Elm Street, okay, from back in the day, you know, at the end of that movie, the girl decided that she wasn't going to empower it anymore. She wasn't going to fear anymore. And by removing that fear and by facing her fears, Freddy Krueger in this movie inherently disappears. Okay, and obviously that leads into many other nightmares, but whatever. In the original, that's what happened. Okay, so that's what you got to do. These people are bullying. They're being Freddy Krueger. They're acting like absolute nightmares, and you need to take away that power from them. And you're not going to take away the power by playing with them. You're going to take that power by not being affected by them, by behaving as if they are nothing. Because in all honesty, Julie, they are nothing.
Right, and if they're not going to
let your daughter and their son work out their own issues or walk away from their own issues and what have you, then you know what? They're just as bad as he is.
Right, and also remember, there's slander, okay? This is slander laws. You can't just slander people. So maybe they need to know, you know, you want to get a lawsuit because you're slandering my daughter. People can't just say what they want to say. You know, I mean, there's consequences, and you know, maybe they need to be educated about what slander means, and you know, that's something that, you know, I don't know what makes people think they can say whatever they want about people and they, you know, then get away with it.
That's the internet,
and they're also, you know, being very threatening to you, and they're just acting in a threatening manner to someone is assault and battery. So we've got assault and battery
uh-huh.
and slander here. So,
and
I mean,
when you call the police, that's exactly what you say. When you call the police, what you tell them is that, hey, listen, you know what? I fear for my safety. These people are behaving this way in public. They are being extremely abusive, and I fear for my safety if I leave the store. The police will come. Okay, and you will have grounds there to get a restraining order against these people. They really want a dose of truth and reality here. Let them go to court.
Right, and that's exactly.
But
you know,
you be the grown up. Don't play back into this role.
Yeah, what I'm just trying to tell you, what they're doing is not just unkind; it's criminal.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I had a very long leash of behavior from my daughter when she was a teenager. If it's not unkind or criminal, I will tolerate it. This is both unkind and criminal. It's not very nice. So, I mean, just to empower you a little bit with that maybe they'll all shut up, they'll all back down when they realize that they can't bully and get away with it, you know. And they do it to nice people because nice people, you know, another person would have hit them in the head with a 2x4, by the way.
Right. Well, they'll see how their son does with this relationship now. We'll see how that goes. So.
Oh, well, we can just karma's wonderful. You just sit back and you relax, eat your popcorn, and you'll watch. I've lived long enough to watch karma in action. I'm like, yes. So I always pray, and you know what you might even want to say to these people? I pray in the laws of karma you get the life you deserve and just walk away. Because really, they will get their back in twofold, if not threefold. So,
but my daughter does,
so
I don't keep you. My daughter does have somebody coming for her sometime because she's just like very.
Yes, she does. She is a very nice soulmate coming. You know, she has to mourn for the ending of this. So the universe is giving her that opportunity, and then she'll be granted another soulmate.
Okay.
Well, we are at the end of our show, and before Blog Talk cuts us off, Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. Someone left me a voicemail. I think they wanted to get through on the show, but whoever left it, it didn't come through, so I couldn't hear what you were saying. So I'm not sure if you did on a cell phone. So sometimes people voicemail me, they want to go through the show, and it's the it's the 0312 number, and I think I know who it is. But
okay.
Anyway, just if you know, just email me or something because I didn't get your message. Okay, good night, everybody, and thanks for calling into the show.
Good
and
night,
good luck,
Cindy. Have a great night.
Okay,
all
bye,
right, Cindy,
everybody.
Goodbye.